I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Now, of course, you go back to verse 23 and verse 22 and so forth, and we know that this verse is speaking of our Lord, who his own self, our Lord, bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He died on the cross for you and I, for those people who have trusted Jesus as Savior. But I would have you also realize this, that he died for all the world. He died for every person. He not only died for you and me, he died for the whole world. He gave his life that everyone could be saved. He gave his life for everybody in this world. And we shouldn't think of ourselves as being high and mighty, and we need to be proud of who we are as Christians, but we need to understand that Jesus gave his life for everybody in this world. And that's sad that everybody will not accept what he did, but he did die for everybody. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants the whole world to have everlasting life. It's sad that the whole world, and that's mankind, it's sad that everybody will not receive Christ as Savior. Well, that verse once again says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." Jesus did it himself, that we, that's us, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. There's your good testimony once again. We, because he died on the tree for us, because he was crucified and shed his blood, We need to be putting forth a good testimony for the Lord. And that verse says, "By whose stripes you were healed." What Jesus accomplished by his sufferings, our sins were transferred to him. We no longer bear those sins. He suffered on the cross for our sins, making it possible for us to have eternal life. And that is what is meant here by his stripes. We were healed, or ye are healed, ye were healed. And many people read into that verse that you're healed physically because of his dying on the cross. That's not what the verse is teaching here. It's talking about eternal life. It's talking about sins forgiven, our sins being laid upon him. And because our sins were laid upon him, because he took our punishment for us, we were healed spiritually. By whose stripes ye were healed. We were once lost as people wandering through this world aimlessly. But now we're saved. We're on our way to heaven because we've trusted Jesus. We were healed by his stripes. Verse 25, the first part of that verse says, "For ye were as sheep going astray." We are all like sheep. Do you ever hear the old saying, dumb sheep? Sheep are dumb, according to what I understand. They just simply go about eating, and they don't pay attention to much of anything. And this is describing us before salvation. We just wander around before we get saved. And it's talking here that about straying from the right path. And Romans 5:12 talks about this. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." That's the wrong path, the sinful path. But man got away from that. How did he get away from it? Because of one man, and that one man was Adam. We were plunged into sin. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now, we can blame Adam all we want to, and of course, he's the one that got us into the mess that we're in, but we choose to do what we do, and we choose to sin. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And we go back and read that verse, by His stripes you were healed. Thank God that Jesus Christ took my sin. Thank God that He paid the price for me, because I went away. You know, I was a willful sinner. And there's still things in this body that I do that is wrong. And if you are honest and admit it, you understand that this body is sin. Your body is sinful. And we have to constantly pray and ask God to help us to not go against what He would have us to do as Christians. Why? Because this body is sin, and we need all the help we can get. And the only one who can really help us is the Lord. Help me, Lord, to live a life that is pleasing to You. And of course, the verse tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's speaking to the saved person. There's no such thing as sinless perfection in this life. When we are sinlessly perfected, that means that we're going to be with the Lord. This old body is gone, and we've been changed. We are now with the Lord, according to the Scriptures, when we become sinless. Well, it's through Adam that we strayed off the path, according to the Word of God, Romans 5:12. But notice the rest of that verse now, verse 25, it says, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You were once lost, but you were found. And that's what this verse is talking about. You strayed away, but now you're found. This is after salvation, returned to the right path. There's only one way to return or get on the right path, and that's through the Lord. There's no other way. Some would have you to believe that there's many ways to God. There's only one way, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me or through me. There is no way. And this is Jesus speaking. This is not simply a man telling you this. This is Jesus in the Word of God telling you that there's only one way. And that's the reason I believe it's so important for you to have your Bible open and reading along as the Scriptures are read. Check up and make sure what you're hearing is from the Word of God and not just what somebody says. And let me add this. I still believe that the best interpreter of the Scriptures are the Scriptures themselves, that the Word of God will interpret itself. And once again, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned, but the saved person receives the things of the Spirit, and they can understand the Scriptures. Saved people can understand because they have been born again. They are spiritual. Well, now we look into 1 Peter chapter 3, and I would look at this as Christian duties. And duties as wives and husbands. And we see this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Well, let's read verses 1 through 6, and we'll start with verses 1 and 2. And this of course, the duties of wives toward husbands in verses 1 through 6. And verse 1 says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. I like that. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the behavior or the testimony of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And the reason I say I like that, I always kid around, likewise you wives be in subjection to your own husbands. I like that. And I always kid around about that the wife is to be in subjection to the husband and not the other way around. But that's verses 1 and 2 of 1 Peter chapter 3. And notice, first of all, in these verses 1 and 2, it's talking about being submissive. Why? That you might win your husband to Christ who is not a believer. If you've married someone who's not a believer, maybe you got saved after you got married, and you need to have a good testimony in front of your husband. You need to keep living for the Lord, and you know, he can make it rough on you. He could try to cause trouble and do everything he can. That's the devil. That's the person. That's the sinful nature of man wanting to cause trouble for a saved person. Remember, that person may be causing you a problem, but you need to keep living the Christian life, and prayerfully and hopefully that person, that loved one, will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Be submissive. Why? That you might win your husband to Christ who is not a believer, and as they observe your chaste or pure conversation or conduct accompanied by fear. In other words, the more you live for the Lord, the more they're going to see something different in your life. Now, verses 3 through 6. Remember now, we're talking about the wife here. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. That's not talking about that you can lose your salvation if you're not doing this, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well. It's talking about that you are identified with Sarah as long as you obey what God has said. In other words, your testimony. It's not talking about salvation here. It's not talking about lost or being saved. It's talking about your behavior as a Christian. Well, these verses, I believe, first of all, is telling us that the woman is to dress properly. And not merely the outward arranging of the hair and wearing of gold, or putting on of fine apparel, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, precious in God's sight. This is what it's about. It's not necessarily what the woman wears on the outside, but it's what's on the inside that counts. And it's also the testimony of the woman, once again, to her husband and also to those people who are around her, not merely outward, but it's the inward that is counting here, the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And this is precious in God's sight. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array." It's not what's on the outside that makes beautiful, it's what's on the inside. And this of course is talking about as holy women in the past who trusted God did. They adorned themselves with the things of God. They didn't put things on simply to be pretty. They had the inside, they had the heart that was pretty to God, that was acceptable to God. Well, have you put on that beautiful heart today, that beautiful inside? Have you trusted Jesus? I pray that you have. And if you haven't done that, you need to ask Him to come into your heart right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. If you'll do that, the Bible says that you're lost. You're on your way to hell. And in order to be on your way to heaven, you must trust Jesus as your Savior. Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior right now. If you're saved, live for Him. Trust Him. Let Him guide you through all manners of this life.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That address, once again, is Dr. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. You may also visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. Until the next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.